The podcast under the stairs, Void Diary, entry number 28.
Hello? Hello, can you hear me? This is Duncan McLeish from the podcast Under the Stairs. I'm pretty sure these messages are getting out. Just a quick update from my previous message. The more and more I've looked into things, the more I'm convinced that where I am now is a holding cell. And my lack of knowledge has given flesh to the bones of the thought that this room was something more, a void-like expanse. It definitely is a cell. Through communications with the American Secret Service, I have managed to increase the timescale for them sending through the relevant parts for me to get out. Dealing with a particular scientist within the American government who requests that I do not mention his name. He believes that he has created an attachment to my original device, and this attachment, with a certain combination, should be able to bring me back. They're working on it with all their efforts and all their abilities at the moment, and God willing, I'll be home within the next 2 months. End of message.
You're listening to Druid FM on 192 BC.
Welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. Hi everyone, and welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs, episode number 66. I am your host Duncan McLeish, and welcome to the show. Episode number 66 continues our look at the top 10 horror performances by Christopher Lee versus Vincent Price, and this week proves to be a true war of attrition as we look at The Horror of Dracula starring Christopher Lee and The Last Man on Earth starring Vincent Price. To tackle these two monumental horror movies, I'll be joined by a very special guest later on in the show, Mr. Bo Ransdell. But before we get into all the movie chat, I just want to, from the bottom of my heart, express how much gratitude I have towards each listener that checked out our 2 year anniversary show. The feedback for that show has been incredible, and you guys really dug the answer section that we put in, myself and the Baz. It seems like you had a lot of fun with that. We had a lot of fun recording it. Thank you to everyone that submitted a question. And you guys also dug the movie review of Demons with myself and Johnny Krug from Kruger Nation Horror Podcast. It's always a pleasure to have him on the show, and he'll be back in the next couple of months to look at two fantastic blaxploitation horror movies. Can't wait to do that. Also, a quick reminder that we have a competition which is now closed. We got tons of questions that came in for the Bazzy's Basement segment, which will be on the upcoming Baz v Horror, as we look at closing out his Nightmare on Elm Street retrospective. We will be announcing the winner of a Teapots poster and the Arrow Blu-ray copy of Tenebrae. So those will be announced on the upcoming show, which should drop in just over a week's time. You get a chance to hear Baz's thoughts on the final three movies that we're covering in that Nightmare on Elm Street franchise, which is A New Nightmare, Freddy vs. Jason, and the Nightmare on Elm Street remake. So keep your eyes peeled for that one, like I say, dropping in just over a week. Once again, thanks very much for all the support. The download numbers have been really strong in the last month, so I can only assume that you guys are pimping us out to other places and telling people to check out the show, because it's been pretty cool. We've not had any feedback on iTunes in a wee while, so if you are an iTunes listener, if you check out this show through iTunes, it's really easy, really quick to jump across and leave us a review. If it's 5 stars, for example, the more of them we get, the higher up the charts we get pushed, the more likely it is that other people will stumble across this show. I don't really want to spend too much time talking at the beginning. I really want to get into our discussion for these movies. So I'm going to jump out just now, and you're going to hear some promos for shows I love. You're going to hear the entrance to our Christopher Lee versus Vincent Price segment, and when I return, I will be joined by my special guest, Mr. Bo Ransdell, right after this.
Do you like movie reviews that are insightful, thought-provoking, and delivered by somebody who's trained to critically dissect every aspect of a motion picture without ever having to use obscenities?
Then you've got the wrong f***ing show. Kruger Nation Horror Podcast is ready to feed your slasher movie and exploitation needs. There'll be more blood, expletives, and titties than you can shake your grandma's beetle flaps at. Visit www.krugernation.com.
Oh, good God! A butthole casserole!
May I have your attention, please?
Mr. Harker, I'm glad that you've arrived safely. I am Dracula, and I welcome you to my house.
I'm going to give the people what they want. Sensation, horror, shock.
Then tell us where Makata is.
Fear causes tremendous tensions in the body. If you can't relieve those tensions, why can't they become strong enough to kill you?
They will be destroyed.
Oh, splendid. This must be my malaria.
And now, for our more dreadful sacrifice.
Ladies and gentlemen, please do not panic, but scream! Scream for your lives!
I intended a peaceful occupation, but you have made that impossible.
You suspect foul play?
It's almost time to lock up the house. Then your party will really begin. I wonder how it'll end.
I will flog every person in this village.
You are about to enter hell.
You will warn the crew that if any one of them lets slip what really happened to the Armada, I will personally cut out his tongue.
Salt and mercury, effective against the dark forces. They will protect you and Simon. If we can save him.
The mark of Satan is upon them.
I appreciate the fact that you are here to help me. Nevertheless, I would remind you that you are also a guest in my house.
Welcome, Boo. You have come of your own free will to the appointed place. Gain no.
The pit! The pen.
It is time to keep your appointment. With the Wicker Man.
And welcome back. So it's time to do the first movie review of this podcast, Under the Stairs. Yeah, there's going to be another Vincent Price taking down, or taking on, should I say, Christopher Lee, because the one thing that has taught me so far about doing this run of shows thus far is going into it, I think it's easy to say, oh, well, this is obviously Christopher Lee that will win this round. And then you watch both movies again and you go, no, the movie's really great, and yeah, Lee's great in that movie, but actually Vincent Price is acting his little socks off in this movie. So yeah, we'll see where they land on this episode. Of course, I am joined by another great guest from the world of podcasting. I have the privilege and honour of joining this man on Duncan and Bo Come Correct. Consider him a very good friend. He is also responsible for the Legion Podcast Network, which makes him a very busy man, so we can only thank him for taking a bit of time out just now to join me on the show. Is, of course, Mr. Bo Ransdell. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing great, although after that introduction, I kind of expected someone else to be answering.
You're just kind of looking over your shoulder.
Yeah, right. Like that guy sounds awesome. I wish I knew that guy.
Checking the Skype call going, I wonder when Duncan's going to add this guy in.
Yeah, right. I have some questions for him. It sounds like he's way more productive than I am. I'm excited to be talking about both of these movies. I dearly, dearly love Christopher Lee and Vincent Price both. And holy crap, these are two great examples of their work.
Yes, yes, they are indeed.
Oh, man. All right. So let me ask you, if you're as excited as I do when you start a Hammer movie and immediately it's you see that splash of like a Hammer production and the music is just bum, bum, bum.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fucking yes, let's get into some Hammer shit.
it was a glorious time to be a horror fan back then. Hammer really, until they became like the most obvious derivative money making machine out there for a time, for a good decade and a half, they put out arguably some of the greatest horror movies of decades, and reinvented characters. I think that's what's interesting about dealing with the movie we've chose for Christopher Lee on this show, is that yes, everyone will always talk about Bela Lugosi as Dracula, and rightly they should always talk about Bela Lugosi as Dracula. However, arguably, when you ask people to imagine what Dracula looks like, I would argue more people imagine Christopher Lee, and that's because Hammer really kind of reinvented the role from the ground up. Maybe not necessarily the look, but Dracula is menacing and scary in a way which I think few films after have been able to capture. Christopher Lee is an intimidating motherfucker on screen. It helps when you're like 6'5", like he was, but the fact that he's so eloquent and so, you know, so refined and sophisticated, and then 2 seconds later he is wrangling a woman to the ground because she's bit a man. I mean, it's just like the kind of juxtaposition of the character and how he plays violent to civilized is brilliant.
Yeah.
And Hammer has a way of doing that. Yeah, and we're going to get into it, but we'll hold back on that a second, Bo. Hold back on that a second.
I'm sorry, horses. I get excited.
You do get excited. You're easily excited. And like I like to do at the beginning of every show, would you like to tell the listeners where they can check you out online? What your shows, where they can catch what you do online?
Yeah, legionpodcasts.com is the big address there. I do Duncan and Bo Come Correct with a guy named Duncan. we have also, he and I, been doing our retrospective, our recap series on True Detective, which has been really, really fun. I really enjoy doing that. That's a good time. Then the Shodcast, which is all about video games. And I swear to God, we are going to do an episode before long that is less than 3 hours.
I was about to say, every time it downloads into my podcast feed, it gets longer. You know, like each show is getting longer and longer. And I'm just like, I suppose it is an industry that is always going to have things to talk about. You know what I mean? That like the gaming industry is... I mean, horror has its peaks and its troughs, you know what I mean? There's never really that in the video game industry. It's always just going to be a subject which is huge. There's always never going to be enough time to talk about everything that you want.
And it continues to evolve, which is the fun part of video games for me, is that it's a new entertainment medium.
Yeah.
And it's been around for, you know, you can argue the exact date, but let's just say about 40 years-ish, which puts it at the ass end of the, you know, whether it's film or music or whatever, it is the youngster, it is the young pup. And as a result, the way that games are played, what those games consist of, that continues to evolve and change. And so that's the fun part to talk about for me. In addition to, there are just some games that are ridiculous fun. Like, I've been pestering you about Rocket League, because Rocket League is great. It is somehow made soccer palatable to the American audience. And because it involves cars that have rockets taped to them. So that was the key all along. If you want to get Americans into soccer, it was to make the ball about 20 times bigger and have the sport be played by cars.
See, I always thought it was that if you scored a goal, you got another oil well. I thought that's how you...
Yeah, that would get certainly a segment of our population into it. If you said, look, every time you score a goal, a bikini model is going to fire an AK-47 at a terrorist, we would be the greatest European football players on the planet.
Yeah.
It would be something. The World Cup would just be basically, it would be an issue of Maxim magazine. If we ever host the World Cup again, I think.
Oh my God. So yeah, so and all those shows that you do are located on Legion Podcast Network.
That is correct. You can find all that and more there. And I would like to give a quick mention to new coming shows or newcomer shows. Kiss the Goat is now with us, and that is a really fun show done by some really great people. And brand new is a podcast called Black Anise.
Yes, yes. And people will be hearing the promo for that show on this episode, so you should check them out. They came out, Misty and Ben came out with a rather thunderous first episode. I did sit in awe going, my first episode sounded like shit. So, how does theirs sound so professional?
Yeah, it was way better than I, like, when they said, hey, we've got a podcast, here's the first episode. I kind of have those measured expectations with that stuff at this point, where I think, okay, let's see if there's just a diamond in the rough here and maybe make some suggestions and, you know, here's some equipment that might help. And I listened to the first episode of that. I was like, oh, they don't need me. Yeah. There's nothing I can, in fact, I just kind of hate them. for doing such a good job right out of the gate. But yeah, it's a good show, and they're a lot of fun to listen to, and they have it's an interesting dynamic because Misty is American but lives in Europe and, you know, is married to a European fella. It, like, their conversations are very funny.
It's an American and a British person doing a show together. They've stolen an idea, Bo!
Wait a second.
We're on to you, Misty.
they should have called it, like, Ben and Misty, you like, come proper or something. Come proper. Like, wait a minute.
Oh my God. Yeah, but yeah, you should check out those shows. They're brilliant shows, and they're all available. Legion Podcast Network. Now that we've done enough pimping of Legion and your shows, we should tackle the very serious business.
Never enough.
There's never enough hours in the day. We should probably tackle the two movies selected for this top 10 countdown. For those keeping score, we are flying through them now. This is number 4. On my list, we'll be doing The Horror of Dracula from 1958, which was originally called Dracula, but believe it or not, that caused confusion because there were other movies called Dracula, so they changed it to Horror of Dracula from 1958, and The Last Man on Earth from 1964. We're going to take a short break. You're going to hear some promos for shows I love. You're going to hear the trailer for the Christopher Lee movie Horror of Dracula. We're going to be back to discuss that movie right after this.
Flesh Like Smoke is the toothsome new shapeshifter anthology from April Moon Books. Curated and edited by Brian M. Sammons with illustrations by Neil Baker, Flesh Like Smoke is a collection of 16 tales of visceral horror from today's most talented authors. Some of these tortured souls lash out against their cursed existence, while others relish the taste of animalistic power. Ranging from gut-wrenching terror to heart-rending pathos, Flesh Like Smoke will leave you salivating for more with every turn of the page. Flesh Like Smoke is available in paperback and ebook format from Amazon.com and AprilMoonBooks.com, as well as other online purveyors of fine literature. Hurry to sink your claws into a copy before the next full moon.
'72 movies that shocked a nation and made an infamous list, the Video Nasties. Hi, I'm Duncan McLeish, and you can join me and my co-host, Andy Blockley.
Hello, hello.
As we chat about the 72 films, reviewing them all from the Video Nasty list, live on our podcast. Tell them about it, Andy.
Okay, 1982. 20,000 films were seized in London alone because they were too nasty to be watched. Come and find out why.
That's right. The show's called Doing the Nasty Podcast. You can find it exclusively on the Horrorphilia Network of podcasts. Come and check us out.
This is the story of Dracula, a creature who destroys all whom he touches. Dracula the terrifying, the feared, who sleeps in the tombs of the dead by day and arises at night to inflict his terror upon the innocent and the unsuspecting.
Oh, you must help me. You must. You're my only hope. You must.
I'll help you. I promise.
Please try and understand. This is not Lucy, the sister you loved. It's only a shell, possessed and corrupted by the evil of Dracula.
How do you destroy a fiend who has so far proven himself indestructible? Those who come to end his reign of terror stay to become his victims.
The Castle Dracula is somewhere here in Klausenburg. Will you tell me how I get there?
You ordered a meal, sir. As an innkeeper, it's my duty to serve you. When you've eaten, I ask you to go and leave us in peace.
This is the doctor who dares to challenge the vampire Dracula. This is the anguished man who fears for the lives of his beloved, the girl who is his sister, and the one that is his wife. Dracula, the bedeviled master of all that is evil.
Welcome back. So you've just heard the trailer for Horror of Dracula from 1958, directed by the great Terence Fisher. That man's filmography is pretty fucking special. And written by Jimmy Sangster. He did the screenplay based on the novel by Bram Stoker. The movie stars, once again, the fantastic combination of Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee. Technically, I don't think... There are very few movies that have happened on this. Maybe one in the Christopher Lee camp that has not had Peter Cushing in it yet. Which means I'm just getting the best of everything at the moment.
Oh, it's so good to see. Like, seeing them wrestle on film is one of the great pleasures in life.
Yeah, because the physically, Lee is huge. And Christopher Lee is... Christopher Lee, you know, like I say, he's 6'4", 6'5". And Peter Cushing wasn't a tall man. But getting to see them struggle on screen is fucking amazing. Peter Cushing, Christopher Lee, Michael Goff, Melissa Stribling, Carol Marsh, Ogla Dickey, and their other folks in the movie. The synopsis is listed on IMDb's. Jonathan Harker begets the ire of Count Dracula after he accepts a job at the vampire's castle under false pretenses. Now, this is a movie that I definitely grew up with. I would imagine I saw this movie before I was 10. Understandably, like we were saying in our intro there to these movies, this to me is the one that really, really creates a Dracula which is absolutely terrifying, like completely terrifying. There is something about Christopher Lee's pale face, slicked back hair, and bloodshot eyes which, if you're a child especially, just makes you want to shit yourself. That's this
and
movie.
As an adult, yeah. I'm not above.
Like Bo was saying, this is a Hammer horror production, and Hammer kind of went through, and Hammer were kind of really kicking off their their push as like a giant horror studio. They really did kind of cover the base of the Universal classics. They kind of modernized them for the time. So we have already talked about you know, the Curse of Frankenstein. So that was their look at Frankenstein, Christopher Lee playing Frankenstein. They obviously did Dracula, they did The Mummy. You know, they went through the big names, but they put their own spin on them. And Horror of Dracula is very much their own spin. So gone is the idea of you know, Renfield coming to Castle Dracula and you know, selling Dracula a property which you can then go to find the reincarnated, you know, all this stuff is stripped out so viciously from this movie. They condense it right down and they change the story in a way which to me I actually prefer. I prefer this idea of Harker knows who Dracula is, infiltrates his castle under false pretenses, and unfortunately pays the price for it. And as a result of that, sets Dracula on this vicious path to the nearby town to basically take his vengeance out on Harker's family. All the meanwhile, we have Van Helsing, played by Cushion. This is probably my favourite Van Helsing performance. Because Cushion is just brilliant in this movie.
I could hear him say evil all day.
Yeah, and Cushion sets forth on this one-to-one direct attack on he's hell-bent on destruction of Dracula, so, you know, goes to Castle Dracula to do that. Like I say, I grew up with this movie, love this movie. This movie is one that I have seen hundreds of times, and that's not even an exaggeration. I will have seen this movie hundreds of times. But Bo, I know you've seen this one many times as well, revisiting it for this show. What did you think of The Horror of Dracula?
I like this movie a whole lot. I always have. Even as a grown-up and looking at through, you know, I guess more sophisticated eyes, maybe. There are things that I enjoy about this movie that I didn't as a kid. But I agree. I think Christopher Lee is an amazing Dracula. You know, the scene I always think of from this movie to encapsulate that character for me is when you first see Dracula in the castle. And he's at the top of the stairs and, you know, silhouetted and looking all dramatic. And then he does this kind of casual jog down the steps with the cape around him, where he's just like, "Hey, Jonathan Harker, hey, I'm Dracula, how are you?" And he's real cool, you know?
Yeah.
Christopher Lee is a lot of fun to watch in this. It does have one of my favorite Van Helsing performances as well. I love, like, Peter Cushing as Van Helsing is just the best. I can't get enough of it. When he's talking to the Holmwoods and telling them about, you know, Jonathan dying and just giving them the whole, like, you know, "Well, I wish I could tell you how he died." And they're like, "Well, you know, you can't tell us or won't. As you like it." You know, and he's just like, "Oh, God damn, you're so good." You know, his, like I said, him saying evil, the evil of Dracula. All that stuff is fantastic. It does condense the story in a way that sometimes it's a little head scratching to me, like just changing, you know, Lucy to the sister of Mina and that of stuff is a little weird, but it all kind of works. It's the Bram Stoker story, kind of, you know, in the sense that there is a Dracula and a lot of the same names are used, but the story is very different in substantial ways. So don't go into it thinking it's really an adaptation of Stoker's book, because it's not. All that being said, it's just a great movie. And a lot of these Hammer movies are defined by, especially the Dracula films, like, how do you kill Dracula at the end of it? You know, it's almost like a Friday the 13th or something in that way, where it's like, okay, how are they going to take out Jason this time? And this has one of my favorite Dracula deaths, because it's just him. Every time he puts an appendage in sunlight, it just crumbles.
And that's pretty
awesome. I suppose my biggest complaint with Horror of Dracula is it doesn't have quite the level of cheesecake that some of the later Hammer films does.
Yeah. I know what you're saying.
It's a little light on the, like, the Hammer ladies.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that might be indicative of the fact that this is the, like, 58 production. 60s Hammer movies are all full of titties.
You're right.
You know what I mean? And it speaks to the time. The time. 58, maybe not so much.
I would say that, you know, one thing that defines a Hammer production, not just the boobies, which are nice, but also the fact that Hammer was a bit more risque in other ways as well.
Yeah, yeah, pushed things out. Really did kind of push the level of what was accepted by your standard horror fan or cinema goer.
Yeah, well, like there's the scene with Mina when he, you know, attacks her. And I think most movies prior to this one, when Dracula, you know, presents his imposing presence around Mina and backs her into her bedroom and he closes the door.
Yeah.
Yeah, most movies kind of end with the door closing. Like everything else is implied. But the Hammer movies, you go into that room with Dracula and he just leans over until she's on the bed and then rubs his lips on her face for a second before biting her. And it's one of those things of like, oh, well, this is still kind of disturbing. But as a grown up, I think I appreciated the fact that the woman in the film, Mina, has a lot of agency in the film. And one of the things that's interesting about Lee's Dracula and the way he plays it and the way the characters respond to him is that, yes, he's evil and repulsive, but he's kind of a turn on too.
it's like something you mentioned earlier on as well about how he basically jogs down the stairs. There's he is a tall man. I love that idea of him taking Harker to his room, and Lee is just basically two stairs at a time. Like, that's just his, and Harker's kind of struggling to keep up with him, until he's like fucking trying to run up the stairs to follow Dracula. But it's almost as if someone watched the Lugosi performance as Dracula and went, this is so slow. You know, good evening, I am Dracula. And, you know, all these sort of very, very slow talking. When Lee comes down those stairs, the amount of dialogue that comes out his mouth, in a minute you know exactly who he is, what his castle is, that he's thanking the guy to be there, he's going to take him to his room, I hope he enjoys his stay. It is so quickly delivered. It's almost as a kind of a response to the original Dracula. It's almost as if what they're saying is, you know, that opening sequence of, you know, the entrance into Dracula's castle takes 5 minutes. Why is it taking 5 minutes? He's only introducing himself. So that introduction is quick and he's in his room, and then the plan, we realise that, you know, Harker is not there under the pretense that we think he is. He's under there under false pretenses. And I appreciate that. I think this movie really feels the need to push through a lot of information at a quick pace to give the viewer, the audience member, what they want, which is... And there is a lot of screen time of both Lee and Cushing. I mean, we spend a lot of time with Van Helsing when Dracula is not on screen, and vice versa, we spend a lot of time with Dracula when Van Helsing isn't on screen. In fact, they don't really converge much at all in the movie till that, like, obviously culminating in that great scene where you have them tussling together, which is fantastic, and Cushion jumping up on a long table, running, leaping and pulling curtains off a window to allow the sunlight in. And like you say, that idea of, we don't get the prolonged death either. Dracula dies pretty quick, and in classic horror fashion, when Dracula dies, cut the credits.
Yeah, we're done.
You'll be watching. This is like game over, everyone. And I love that. The movie is possibly slightly longer than the original Dracula. It's not even an hour and a half. And I know the original Dracula is just over an hour. So, but this movie feels like it just is like you're on a locomotive train just running full pelt through the Dracula story. And I love it. I love it. I think it's... there's a reason it lands here on this position. I genuinely think Christopher Lee's performance of Dracula shapes everything after. There is no longer this slow kind of slow delivery of how a Dracula is performed. Draculas after this point are performed more in line with Lee than they are with Lugosi.
Yeah.
And it's just he encapsulates the role. Unfortunately, that worked two ways with Christopher Lee, in that he kind of regretted doing the role. Not maybe the movie, but I think he regretted coming back as many times as he did, and so much so that he got to the stage that there are sequels where he plays Dracula with no dialogue, and it's because he just thought the lines were silly. He wouldn't do it, wouldn't say it. And that's, you know, that's, it's a bit of a shame. He didn't want typecasted too much with Dracula, and the irony of the situation, he is synonymous with Dracula. So I think, is there anything else you want to say about Horror of Dracula before we take a short break?
Nothing about the film itself, but I would like to say about Lee in the movie in particular, I think he is that perfect blend, as you said, of the kind of aristocratic but having these feral elements.
Yeah.
But the other thing that I really love about him in this movie is when he gets his Dracula face going, you know, and is baring the teeth and whatnot. I think he is genuinely frightening.
Yeah.
Like Lee seems like, on a personal level, Christopher Lee seemed like such a nice guy. But he is vicious in this movie, and that's the other thing about his Dracula that's kind of great, is that there's the element of seduction to his character, but when he's fighting with Van Helsing, it's just like, you know, it's kind of a street fight almost.
Yeah
And I dig that about this movie quite a bit. And
there's no massive supernatural powers or anything like that. It comes down to basically who has strength of will, and you know, being that Van Helsing has just cause on his side, he's the one that ultimately...
Okay, let me...
Unless weaknesses as well. He's obviously not allergic to sunlight, so...
Yeah, let me ask you, though, when in the final battle between Van Helsing and Dracula, this is something I've always wondered. Uh-huh. When Dracula is strangling Van Helsing, and he kind of passes out...
Yes.
Is he playing possum there, or was it... Because when he comes to, he almost has that look like... Where the hell? Oh yeah, Dracula fight. Gotta get All right. Head in the game, Van Helsing. Let's do this.
I've always put it to the fact that he's playing possum. That's the way I look at it. But you are right. You could easily say that, you know, Dracula thinks he's choked him out, but he hasn't. I would like to think that makes more sense that he's playing possum. I don't think Dracula is the sort of person with the years of life that he has that he would get sloppy and not realize how to strangle a human. That's how I look at it.
All right. Just trying to satisfy my own curiosity, but yeah, Horror of Dracula is great. It's one of my the Hammer Dracula films. It's certainly in the top, you know, three.
Yeah. It's incredible. And I mean, there are other Dracula movies from Hammer that I do prefer over this one, but it was difficult to pick those without acknowledging the fact that the whole idea of how Christopher Lee plays Dracula is all in this movie. And a lot of them, there's no dialogue from Dracula, so it makes it quite difficult. Whilst I think he's more imposing, vicious, or feral at points in other movies, it's very difficult. Like arguing the point for Curse of Frankenstein earlier on in these shows was quite difficult. And so much as I think Lee's portrayal of Frankenstein is incredible, but it has no dialogue. So it's difficult to make that case when you're going up against a movie like The Last Man on Earth, which is our next movie, which is laden with dialogue. I mean, it is one of the most dialogue, well, let's say, inner dialogue heavy films ever made, I think, because we live most of that movie in Vincent Price's head, and there's a reason behind that, and we'll get on to that movie. But what we should do first is let you hear the trailer for it. So number four on my Vincent Price list is The Last Man on Earth. We're going to take a short break, promos will play, and then you will hear the trailer for that movie, The Last Man on Earth from 1964. Myself and Mr. Ransdell will come back and discuss that movie right after this.
You're listening to The Podcast Under the Stairs. You know those old-time radio shows with the married couples who bicker about the kids and the car and the neighbors? Our podcast is a lot like that.
Yeah. Well, if you replace the kids, the car, and the neighbors with devil movies, theology, and vodka.
My name is X.
And I'm Cootie.
And we are the hosts of Kiss the Goat, a different kind of movie podcast.
Every episode, we review a devil movie. You know, possessions, exorcisms, the Antichrist, and we stomp a mud hole in it, even if we like it.
We are huge fans of comparative religion, and we love to compare real belief systems with what Hollywood seems to think belief systems are.
But don't think we're not civic-minded, because each episode includes our Satan in the News segment, where our fearless correspondent, Sin Fallon, documents the eternal struggle between good and evil.
And, as high-functioning alcoholics, we give every movie its own drinking game, so that you can enjoy the movie just like we did. Ripped to the tits.
And there is ever so much more to the show than that. And let me tell you, it ain't for kids.
Hell, it ain't for most adults.
But it might be for you.
You won't know until you listen to Kiss the Goat exclusively on the Legion Network of Podcasts.
That's Kiss the Goat. We're the lighter side
of the dark side.
We switch you to the state capitol, where His Excellency, the Governor, is speaking from the Executive Mansion.
Further, I have, in conjunction with the federal government, declared this state to be a disaster area.
I was sent to keep you here until they come.
To kill me.
Vampires, alive among the lifeless, that make the night hideous with their inhuman cravings. If they are not destroyed in the flaming pits of hellfire, or staked to the ground in the light of the sun, will the unbelievable become real? A world of inanimate zombies by day? Irresistible, horrifying attackers by night? Can a zombie woman's hunger for love repopulate the earth?
Welcome back. So you've just heard the trailer for our second and final movie review. Like I said before the break, this is number 4 on my Vincent Price performance list in the horror category, chosen by the podcast Under the Stairs. It's The Last Man on Earth from 1964, directed by Ubaldo Ragona, and obviously based on the Richard Matheson story, I Am Legend. And some would argue, and I'd probably agree with him, this is probably the most true adaptation of that novel, even though there have been two movies after, which kind of play within there, and another one doesn't, and it has Will Smith in it.
That movie's heartbreaking.
It's so heartbreaking. So this movie stars Vincent Price, Franca Bitoia, Emma Daniele, Alberto Rio, Krista Cortland, other folk in the movie. Synopsis: when a disease turns all of humanity into the living dead, the last man on Earth becomes a reluctant vampire hunter. This movie, one that I am also very familiar with. This is one I saw a long, long time ago. I think it was after I'd read I Am Legend for the first time. And I always remember seeing the Omega Man first. And I really have quite a lot of time for the Omega Man. I really like Charlton Heston in that movie. And then, obviously, through conversations with other people at the time, being told that, you know, this was not the only version of I Am Legend. There was indeed a movie before The Last Man on Earth with Vincent Price. And there's a couple of things I love about this movie. First, the stylistic choice to do it in black and white in 1964. I think we've mentioned on another show which we've recorded today, that's the frosting on top of the muffin bowl.
Frosty on the muffin, Duncan.
Yeah, which people will not get unless they listen to our other show. But yeah, I really enjoy the stylistic choice of black and white. I've always been a big fan of that format. I think you can do a lot with it. You can hide a lot with it as well. But there's something really, really quite interesting about the way they tackle the subject matter here, in that they, obviously, Richard Matheson being involved with the screenplay, adapting his novel helps quite a bit, in that he changes things to work a particular way to work for a movie. And I love the choice to have Vincent Price narrate the majority of the movie as well, up to the point where he starts actually interacting with other people. Like it says, the story is that the rest of the world are now vampires. Vincent Price is the last man on Earth. I love the fact that the vampires in this movie look more akin to what we would class as Romero zombies than they do necessarily vampires. Although the way he kills them, stake through the heart, burning the bodies, all those ideas fit firmly within the vampire mythology. Vincent Price is brilliant in this movie because you really get a sense of the mania the character has been put through his couple of years isolation, still living in places, like still living in a big city, so it's not quite cabin fever, but having no one to interact with, and constantly stuck with the memories of events that had happened at the start of the outbreak, and could he have done anything different, I think is brilliant. There are, being a fan of the book, I think the book is phenomenal, but being a fan of the book, there's a couple of things that I think they handle really well in this, a couple of things I don't think they handle particularly well, but that's obviously less the film's fault and more the adaptation, and the writer of that novel wrote it this way, so, you know, who am I to argue with it? But I love the inclusion, the nods to things like the inclusion of the dog in the story, which is one of the, reading the book I Am Legend, the dog bit is, and you'll appreciate this, Bo, is the only thing I've ever read that actually brought a tear to my eye.
Oh, good. You're human.
Yeah, because we've joked many times on another show about how I'm fairly cold and heartless when it comes to cinema and life events, but that idea of him finally getting a companion and trying to nurse a companion back to health, and just when you think things might turn around from the dog dying, it's heartbreaking to me. I think it's handled fairly well in here.
It's a little hurried in this, I think, but the scene where he first takes in the dog is the, you know, you're gonna be fine, boy. You know, all that stuff, I think, is really good, because you do see his loneliness expressed in a way you hadn't before.
Yeah, it's etched on his face. I think that's the beauty of the performance from Price. Price does cover rational, irrational, crazy, happy, relieved. You go through a full spectrum of emotions whilst he is, like, in some cases, whilst he's narrating. So he is just acting silently on the screen, and you fully absorb the intention behind the role just by the way he looks. A couple of things I don't think work. I don't particularly like the end of this movie. I think, and it may be similar to the way the dog scene is handled, I think the end of this movie is incredibly rushed. From the moment that he finds out his house has been infiltrated, till the people arrive there, to the moment he starts running along, chucking smoke bombs behind him, like, there's almost, like, watching it back again this week, the gravity of what the end is supposed to signify, I think, is is slightly tarnished by the kind of almost Benny Hill chase sequence of the guards following them in one door and out the other door. There's this kind of Scooby-Doo Benny Hill sort of thing going on there. And the gravity of the final message, which, you know, they are afraid of me. I don't think it has the same impact as it would if they'd just not fleshed the sequence out for even 5 more minutes. I think it would have worked a lot better, because Price is pretty horrible to these vampires during the day. He does. The fact that the woman says at one point, you're talked about, you're the creature that moves during the day, you know, like this whole point of putting across that he is actually the monster.
One might say he is legend.
He is legend, which is, you know, that's what makes the book so iconic, and that's what makes me so frustrated with every adaptation about this, is they miss that final line. That final line kind of falls in each version. It's handled probably best in here, but rushed. But I think it's very difficult to argue that Price is not phenomenal in this movie. What's your take on The Last Man on Earth, Paul?
Yeah, I'm kind of the same mind as you are. I Am Legend is one of my favorite horror stories, novels, whatever, of all time. I mean, I think that's nothing controversial. That's a well-regarded piece of horror fiction. And I do think Last Man on Earth is the closest we ever get to the book, and in some cases very, very close. The ending of this movie, I agree with you, it's not 100% successful, but the fact that it's there at all does make me happy. And, you know, there are things in this movie that are handled incredibly well. A lot of it, of course, falls on Vincent Price's shoulders, because he's in almost every frame of this movie.
Yeah.
And his performance is really, really good. I don't think the flashback scenes work all that well.
Yeah.
Just because they're so on top of each other. It's just like the middle third of this movie almost is just, here's what happened before.
Yeah.
And I don't know that we needed all of that stuff, but I get it, you know, especially in the time that it was made. There's a lot of info dumps that happen there. But I do agree. I wish we could have instead used some of that time to flesh out this society that's kind of forming. But the reveal of that is important too. And I don't know. That story is a weird balancing act to begin with.
Oh yeah, and I think that's why it's never been done right.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that, like you say, and I have to agree, this is the closest you will ever get to seeing that book made film. I don't think there's going to be anyone that's going to tackle it anytime soon, which is a shame.
You know, the other thing that's kind of mind-blowing to me about this movie, especially watching it again, I almost couldn't believe it. If you've never seen Last Man on Earth, you should. And when you do, listeners, when you do, the one thing you're going to think over and over again is, holy crap, this is pretty much Night of the Living Dead.
It does have a lot of that in there. It really, really does. And I think the choice of even making the vampires feel more, they are more akin to Night of the Living Dead zombies. So much so that when I recently did a top 20 countdown of zombie movies on the Midnight Horror Show, there was people that put this movie in as a zombie movie, and it's kind of hard to argue against it, if you know what I mean. Just the look of them, the way they feel, and the way the story is. I mean, and it does predate. I mean, to me, it's not. To me, it's a vampire movie. But the fact that, you know, it predates Night of the Living Dead, there's no way Romero could claim that he had not seen this movie, or this movie was in the back of his mind when he made his movie. No way. I would call him a liar to his face.
Yeah, absolutely. And first of all, it's not a zombie movie because they're killed by stakes. That's vampires right there.
That's a counter to what we said on the show, was they're killed by stakes. Garlic and mirrors are used against him. That's the holy trinity of vampire kills.
Right.
Yeah.
If monsters are determined by the method in which you dispatch them, I feel. Yeah. I'll give you some brochures later. I've got pamphlets about this. But yeah, I mean, Last Man on Earth is surprisingly effective, I think, for being a film that is, you know, over 50 years old at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy. But
almost 60.
Yeah. It's a really, really good movie. Vincent Price is really good in it. If you're a fan of I Am Legend, it's the best adaptation we've gotten so far. I like to believe that maybe we'll get a real adaptation one day that's even better, but this one's pretty good. You know, this gets a lot of stuff right. I think the monsters are a little hammy. And also, Vincent Price, God bless him, is not the most physically intimidating character. And a lot of times when, you know, he's in situations where he has to struggle some with the vampire/zombies. And it's a little, you know, away, vampires! And just a shove, and they kind of tumble over. And yeah, it's not all that exciting. And those are the moments that I feel kind of break the illusion of the film. Yeah. But overall, it was stronger as a movie than I recalled it being. Which was a nice surprise. And particularly watching it just focused on Vincent Price's performance. I mean, oh my goodness. The scene where he does the "I'm going to laugh until I cry" moment.
Yeah.
A lot of actors have tried to pull that off, and he does it probably as well as anyone I've ever seen.
Yeah, it does kind of almost seem effortless to him. I think that's the beauty of watching all the different Price performances that I have just now. It's funny how people, you know, it's, oh, that's quintessential Vincent Price. And you're like, yeah, because he pretty much encapsulates the roles that he does on such a level that, you know, we now write that off as just, oh, well, that's Vincent Price. But, the actor behind that, that's why I'm so glad that, like, him and Christopher Lee and that stuck so true to the genre. You know, they did other things out with the genre, but they really remembered where they were appreciated probably the most out of anything, and really dedicated a sizable chunk of their careers to doing those movies, which, you know, we're still talking about today. You know.
Yeah, and they did interesting work in those films. Like, Vincent Price does not phone anything in this movie in. The scenes where he first encounters, you know, the girl, and they're having this conversation about where she's been and who she could be, and he is kind of menacing in those moments, and the best parts of Last Man on Earth are also the best parts of I Am Legend, which is this the idea of a guy in isolation trying to save the world, or at least make sense of a world in which he is completely alone, and then upon discovering that there's this other society, realizes that he can ever be part of it. And
yeah,
the thing that's interesting about this version of it is the whole idea of him curing the girl. And I kind of like the very ending of this movie, the ambiguity of, you know, after Vincent Price has been dispatched by these new vampires, that she's kind of walking out of there with the cure for everything in her body, assumedly.
Yeah.
But you don't know if the revelation of that would make her an outcast too, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I think there's some really interesting philosophical questions going on in the movie that that also occur in the book, and this does a good job of adapting those into a cinematic fashion, which is, like I said, it's real satisfying because none of the other... I don't think Omega Man does that very well. I think Last Man...
It doesn't, but that's because it's Charlton Heston that's in that role.
Yeah.
Charlton Heston is a man's man, so there's no way you're going to get weakness, you know, towards the end of that. It's a staple of how he plays characters, that you're never going to get that. You know, even down to how the story's, like, ultimately ended, you know, Heston has died, he is enemy, he is gone. You know, this sort of thing, on this level. But I think it's because, on some level as well, the Heston movie feels less of a horror movie than this does. This one feels more horror the Hessian one always to me felt like some sort of weird kind of
disco sci-fi action.
Yeah, it's like a, it's kind of more like the action interpretation of the source material. This one felt like more the horror interpretation of the source material, and the I Am Legend movie from a couple of years ago felt like they hadn't read the material.
That's a game of telephone that happened where, you know, three different people were involved in that chain of like, here's the story of I Am Legend, now go tell Pete that, and he's going to tell the screenwriter.
Yeah, Chinese whispers gone amok.
Is that the expression?
Terminology, yeah, you never heard the Chinese whispers.
No, we always called it telephone here because we're not racist. America is the least racist place on the planet.
Yeah, let's not.
Watch the news that bears that out.
Yeah, no, let's not go into that conversation on this show. So what we're going to do, Bo, is we're going to take a short break, and then the serious part of the show kicks in when we return. It's time to deliberate who is the better performer in these movies. And all of a sudden I realise that the format of my top 10 shows scarily echoes Duncan and Bo Come Correct, which was not deliberate at all. Or stolen. Plagiarism.
You don't mess with a good thing, you know?
You don't. Right, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to be discussing who had the better performance right after this.
Hey kids, do you like horror movies?
Do you like podcasts?
Do you like people called Gil and Roscoe?
If you do, you're going to love
Gil and Roscoe's Bodacious Horror Podcast! Every week, you'll join your hosts Gil and Roscoe, who'll discuss a range of topics, including juice drinks,
alcoholic drinks,
lollipops,
wobby socks,
Robocop,
uncomfortable chairs,
comfortable chairs.
It sounds absolutely nothing like our podcast.
Well, it should be a representation of our podcast, so we should start off with a pure cheesy intro and then just be like, actually, no, that sounded way too upbeat for us.
Yeah. We could have some dead classy music in the background and people would think we're really high class gentlemen.
We are high class gentlemen. That's just not what our podcast sounds like.
Right.
So that's Gil and Roscoe's Bodacious Horror Podcast. Look for us on iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter.
And welcome back. So it's that inevitable point of the top 10 show where we now have to be quite serious, Bo, and try and come up with our choices for who was the better performer in the movies we watched. So to remind people out there, we have a simple point scoring system. If me and Bo both agree, that person will get 2 points. If me and Bo go with different performers, they get 1 point each. So, and this one of all the weeks is the toughest one for me. And the reason it's the toughest one for me is because I think Vincent Price, like you rightly pointed out, encapsulates pretty much every scene of The Last Man on Earth and delivers a huge scope of acting emotions, which, you know, most actors struggle to get one or two in par, and he does them all. And it makes it look very easy. So he should naturally be my choice. However, Christopher Lee's first performance of Dracula, I think, really puts the fear of Dracula in cinema. I think his performance between aristocratic gentlemen and, like we said, that kind of feral, bestial aspect of the character, I think is handled possibly better than it's ever been done. And whilst we don't have him encapsulating every single second of screen time like Vincent Price, when he is on the screen, he is a very captivating Dracula. Your eyes are drawn to him. And I genuinely think he's very menacing. Which means I have to choose a better performer, and I always go first. I always go first on here, and as controversial as this is going to be, and I'm going to get a lot of hate mail for this, I'm going with Lee on this one. The reason I'm going with Lee on this one is I think his whole performance is incredible in the movie, and I genuinely think he is Dracula. When I think of Dracula, I think Christopher Lee, and that all stems from this role as Dracula. He has done better Dracula movies, I can't argue that, but they all play off the groundwork, the framework of Dracula he made here. And he really does take what is an unenviable role for anyone to take in 1958, because Lugosi was still alive, and I believe still playing Dracula in the 50s. He takes it and he makes it his own, which is the hallmark of any great artist, encapsulating a role that has been done before. You know, Vincent Price is doing Vincent Price. Like I said earlier on, he's doing that great spectrum of horror acting, which he would go on for years after, and he's arguably the most pained character that he's ever played in this movie, is the fact that he is the last man on earth. But goddamn, Christopher Lee is scary as fuck. He really is scary. And yeah, it's not going to be a popular one. Everyone's looking at their generic MP3 iPod playing device right now, mouthing the words "what the fuck," or if they're by themselves, actually saying it out loud. As you know, if you were mouthing it, I would imagine you were trying to save anyone from offence.
Yes.
Yeah, because you know, it seems like a no-brainer, and it was a no-brainer until I watched the two movies again. And yeah, I'm going with Christopher Lee. What about yourself, Bo?
I agree with you so much that I disagree.
Yeah, all right. I love it when you do this.
Yes. So I think you're right about everything. I think that the performance Christopher Lee gives is a template upon which a number of other performances are based. It's iconic. It's important for horror films. It's incredible. He's great in the role. What he brings to the role is special, and there are a number of films that exist in its wake that try to replicate his performance as Dracula.
Yeah.
Both by him sometimes and other people. That said, if Christopher Lee were not in this movie, and it was, you know, let's just say you got something crazy like Jack Palance as Dracula.
Not that crazy, I would think.
It's, well, it. At some point, we're going to watch that movie.
We have to watch that movie. It's almost necessary now.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I think if you put somebody else in the role of Dracula, yes, that performance would be less iconic, but you would still have these great, you know, these great sets, and Michael Goff is really good in the movie. We didn't really mention him much, but even as Arthur Holmwood in kind of a supporting role,
he's really
good.
Yes, yeah.
And Peter Cushing, if this movie were just Peter Cushing as Van Helsing, and instead of Dracula, he were fighting an oversized hamster, I would still be on board and think it was a great movie.
Yeah.
So I don't think Lee is as critical to the movie as he is a you know, kind of a godsend, ironically. he's amazing in it, but the movie could exist without him. Hmm. Last Man on Earth, just the opposite. Like, without somebody in that central role that can carry the film, that movie doesn't work.
Yeah.
And Vincent Price, as you've said, again, I'm just agreeing with everything you said already. Vincent Price gives an amazing look at his emotional range. You know, sometimes there are moments in his performance that I'm not crazy about, but you're talking about a couple of minutes of, you know, an almost consistent 90-minute screen time
that he's
being asked to do some pretty heavy stuff. And when the scenes work, they work absolutely fantastically. I think Horror of Dracula is maybe a better movie than Last Man on Earth.
Uh-huh.
Because it just has less problems, although I think Last Man on Earth, when its highs are very high. But yeah, I think, you know, I mean, it's a real Sophie's choice. Because these are both great performances, and one of them is a legendary, iconic performance from Lee. The other is kind of an overlooked, but maybe best performance from Vincent Price.
Yeah. I think some people, myself included, at times rest on the laurels of things like Theatre of Blood and Dr. Fibes and forget that, you know, before those movies, he was, like, killing it in movies like this.
Yeah. So, yeah, I gotta go with Vincent Price on this one. I think without him, Last Man on Earth doesn't work. I do think that this is maybe his best performance in his career, just because he gets to do so much.
Yeah. No, I'm happy with that. I would feel uncomfortable if neither actor got a point in this round. Because, like I say, to me, yeah, you're right. I've even said it myself. Vincent Price is phenomenal. Vincent Price is absolutely phenomenal in the movie, and he does do everything. Maybe it's because I associate so much of Dracula to Christopher Lee that I find it difficult not to get through this round without giving them a point. But yeah, so there we go, a point each. The first draw of this rundown, which is quite impressive considering we've already been through, 12 movies by this point, and there's only been a draw once. But yeah, this is continuing the monumental run for Vincent Price in terms of points. Vincent Price is starting to pull away to a stage now that it will be near impossible for unless Christopher Lee runs a clean sweep of the final ones. I don't think it's possible for Christopher Lee to now take the crown. But yes, I would like to thank Bo for coming on the show. Bo, would you like to remind people where they can check out your shows before you go?
Yeah, sure. Legionpodcasts.com is where you can find everything, including this. So thanks for listening. And please, if you would, if you enjoy the shows on the network, drop by iTunes and leave us a rating and a quick review. It helps the profile so much. So if you enjoy this show, among others, and would like to spread the word about it, that would be wonderful, and we would appreciate it. And I will give you a dollar. I won't give you a dollar.
Wait till I edit that out, boy. You're going to get
right.
Not agree with me on my Christopher Lee. Fuck you. Anyway.
I'll see you in the poorhouse.
How's Vincent Price keeping you warm there, Bo?
Right. Oh, what a range of emotions. I bet you're experiencing real depression right about now.
Oh, thank you very much to Bo Ransdell for giving some time to come across and do this show. We're going to take a very short break when I return. I'm closing out the show right after this.
Almost midnight. Enough time for one more story.
They try to kill us.
You ungodly warlock.
But we just won't stay dead.
What's the matter? You can't hold your liquor, huh?
The Midnight Horror Show, the internet's goriest and raunchiest horror podcast since 2008. Now live every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time at tmhsradio.com. Listen on your mobile device with the TuneIn app, search TMHS Radio, or download us at iTunes, Podomatic, or the TMHS Radio page.
You're listening to the podcast Under the Stairs.
And you've been listening to the podcast Under the Stairs, episode number 66, where we were looking at reviews of The Horror of Dracula and The Last Man on Earth. Thanks very much to my guest, Mr. Bo Ransdell, who came across to join us for those two fantastic movie reviews. And the first time we've had a draw on the show, that was quite incredible. And I stand by my judgment on that one. I know I'm going to get a bit of heat for that, but Christopher Lee's Dracula, as far as I'm concerned, so I'm not really going to feel ashamed that I gave him the points. But at this stage, I think, by the looks of things, all Vincent Price needs is a point, so a draw, and he will win overall in our season. But we have some fantastic movies still to come up on our final top three countdown of Christopher Lee versus Vincent Price. On the next week's show, I'll be joined by Johnny Krug, who will make his return, and we will be looking at, for Christopher Lee, Rasputin, The Mad Monk, and for Vincent Price, Theatre of Blood. The week after that, we'll be joined by Danny Trioxen of the Midnight Horror Show to do The Devil Rides Out for Christopher Lee and The Abominable Dr. Fibes for Vincent Price. And our final week, I'll be joined by the GOAT, Jeff X. Martin, will join me to discuss The Wicker Man for Christopher Lee and Witchfinder General for Vincent Price. So, not that much longer left, only three shows after this before we bring you Baz v Halloween. And in between those shows, you will get the final Baz v Horror before we do our live video commentary of Grave Encounters 2, which I'm really looking forward to, see if we can put the shitters up Baz again. There are a multitude of ways that you can check out this show. You can listen to us through Stitcher Smart Radio, you can check us out on iTunes, like I said at the start of the show. If you can leave us some feedback there, it would be greatly appreciated. You can check us out through our website, podcastunderthestairs.wordpress.com, and Baz now manages our Twitter account, which is twitter.com/tputscast. Or if you want to tag us in something, that's @tputscast. You can also check us out on SoundCloud, and the Podcast Under the Stairs is a proud member of Legion Podcast Network, so you can find us over there. If you want to subscribe to the Legion feed, you'll get every Podcast Under the Stairs as it drops, along with a multitude of fantastic horror shows, gaming shows, and movie review shows are all over there on Legion Podcast Network. I also want to do a couple of shout outs to some of the other shows that I do. So you can check out the Graveshift Radio back catalogue of shows. We're currently on a kind of extended hiatus at the moment, hoping to come back soon, but you can check out Graveshift Radio, one of the raunchiest podcasts out there. It's guys talking about dicks and horror movies, so if that sounds like the things that you want to hear, then that's the shows you'll be listening to. The Midnight Horror Show, which I'm a proud member of, we come live every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can check us out on our website, interact live on the chat boards over there as the show continues on, by going to tmhsradio.com, so it's the Midnight Horror Show abbreviated, tmhsradio.com, or use the TuneIn app and type in TMHS Radio, and you can check us out live, like I say, every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for live interactions on the Midnight Horror Show. I also want to pimp Doing the Nasty, which only has about 6 episodes left now of our run. It's myself and Andy Blockley from the Big Horror and Little Podcast looking exclusively at the movies that made the Video Nasty list, all 72. The prosecuted and non-prosecuted films. We are exclusive over on Horrorphilia Podcast Network, so go and show that show some love. And finally, Duncan and Bo Come Correct, which is also on Legion Podcast Network, where myself and my guest from this show, Mr. Bo Rans, they'll sit and debate who has the better suggestions and movies that the other one has never seen. So check out that show and give it some love. Right at the end, there are want to remind people that there are posters still available, and for the measly sum of £12.50 in the UK, you can own a poster. That's postage and packaging included. And if you're in the States, it is the fantastic sum of $23 that includes your postage and packaging, and it'll get sent out to you. And if you're interested, you can send us an email to podcastunderthestairs@gmail.com and get in touch with me there, or through Facebook. Just drop me a direct message on Facebook and I'll get that sorted out and sent out to you. Thank you very much, everyone, for the support. I can't wait to come back next week with Johnny Krug. And also next week, look out for that Baz v Horror episode as he finishes his look at A Nightmare on Elm Street, the franchise. Until I speak to you, please take care of yourselves out there. This is Duncan McLeish broadcasting live from the void, signing off.
Governs the species. quite what they seem.
Yeah.